All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night in Poland for Scotland. A last minute Andy Robertson winner secures a relegation playoff spot, but second place moves out of reach with the other result in the group. Elsewhere, Niels Coppin is named Rangers' new sporting director. And some bad news as Dumbarton, one of Scotland's oldest clubs, goes into administration. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Stephen O'Donnell and Gordon DL. How are you both? Are you well?
Absolutely brilliant. But this man should take the show away. It's Scotland International about last night.
That's true. Something that you and I know absolutely nothing
we'll
about.
We'll sit back and take all the
Come on, 26 caps.
Maybe put on X, but no, it was amazing. Watched the game. The score is one of the ones that is, it was forever changing at night. You're getting, I think it was Andrew Barr was on the commentary, and he's telling us, "Of Croatia has equalised now. This changes. And it was to end with that great ball in for John Souter and an unbelievable finish.
Do you want me to be completely honest, right? See, if you watch this back, because you can do that now, of course, on the live stream. I was going to say ex-Scotland international, and I thought that he's still playing.
It doesn't really hurt my feelings.
And he's not retired from international football, so I just went, and Stephen O'Donnell.
Well, do you know how I knew this? Because I was in the gym in Hamilton last week, and I bumped into this guy, and he was screaming at me.
Do you two talk to each other away from here?
Yeah, met him in the gym, and he was.
I'm working hard, and he's sipping a coffee.
He's reminding me that the big news was that he was out of the Scotland squad due injury.
That's true.
Thank goodness for that one.
He could have been in. He could have been in this time. Listen, I'm sick of you putting yourself down anyway. 0141 951 1025. Stephen O'Donnell is here to tell us all things Scotland. Talk all things Scotland. Gordon Dale's here to help him. So do get in touch. Let us know what you made of last night, how you view that Nations League campaign as a whole, what you're thinking about this playoff scenario. Still don't know which pot we're going to be in for the World Cup and all that stuff. I know it's all about convoluted pots and seedings and rankings and playoffs and all that stuff, but Gordon DL has assured me he's researched it all and he'll explain it all in crystal clear fashion between now and 8 o'clock. How excited are you by Ben Doak? What about Andy Robertson's winner, 80th cap for him? What about John Souter's cross? Has he now nailed himself in as the number one centre back for Steve Clarke's side? And what about the manager as well? Because took a lot of stick after the Euros. I'm sure some of it deserved. How much of it has gone away, or how much is this team starting to win you back over? Do let us know all your thoughts on last night, on the doubleheader, on the group as a whole, and all the individuals involved. If we could do it right now on 0141 951 1025. It's not been a totally quiet day on the club front though. Rangers fans, what do you make of the fact that Niels Coppin is the new sporting director at the club? Are you happy with that? Does that give you some sort of continuity? Does it show that the right positions are starting to be filled? Or are you concerned that sometimes promoting from within doesn't work, or he might not have any experience at that particular role, or there's no CEO in place yet to appoint him and work with him? So give us all your thoughts there, Rangers fans, on Niels Coppin. And we prefer to deal with good news stories, don't we? But any Dumbarton fans out there, be happy to hear how you're feeling today. One of Scotland's oldest clubs and the latest to be hit financially and slide into administration. So same number for you all, 0141 951 1025. And if there's anything else out there at all that you think we've missed, just pick up that phone or send us a tweet.
Yeah, I thought last night, I'll touch on what Stephen was saying. One, I thought it was a terrific game of football.
That was good, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a terrific game of football. I really enjoyed it. Very open, both sides having plenty of chances. And just when you got to that 1-1, you're thinking it's going to need something special for Scotland to win it. And it certainly was special. But I didn't know John Souter had that in his locker, to be honest with you, Stephen. But I'll tell you another thing. Andy Robertson attacks that like his life depended on it. Bullets a header into the back of net. Great joy, great scenes. Do you know, you're right, Gordon. We've sat here in the last month or so and Steve Clark's come in for a lot of stick. Question marks about, you know, his defence. He's went back to that back four. That back four looks no bad. Okay, last night, first half, a lot of times, just long balls over the top caused us problems, right? And their finishing were poor. But we were creating chances. But I just thought we looked back to that confidence, togetherness, working hard. Ben Doak is just a joy to watch at that age. Just a typical old-fashioned winger for me. You know, you'll know those days when we played in the wide areas, we were always taught, drop the shoulder, get by the fullback, get to the byline and get it in. He's absolutely brilliant. Great to watch, but I thought everybody played their part.
How important was it, Stephen, to get something tangible to show? Because for the first three performances, people said, pointed out, and they were right, they were pretty good, but that still leaves the door open for people to say, who cares? What does that count for? But to now, you know, finish third, the chances of staying in the Nations League A survive for now until the playoffs, but also it's, you know, back-to-back wins, three undefeated against top-tier opposition.
You know, I think the first and foremost is the top opposition makes much harder. The run of no games winning, it goes to the Euros as well. Like, the calibre of opposition is the highest we've faced in competitive matches for a long time. And again, even at the Euros, albeit the results weren't great, take away the Germany game, the other two were very competitive. But we didn't really seem we were that creative. We weren't creating too many opportunities. And that was the kind of thing coming away from it. Lots of chances not really created and not many shots on goal. That's been the complete opposite, I think. And then last night epitomised that with the end-to-end nature of the game. I'm sure the manager will be maybe slightly concerned with a couple of times they had good opportunities, but so did we. Dykes's header, unbelievable. Billy Gilmore's shot for the edge of the box. But in general, the way we played, passing it, I thought Kenny McLean was exceptional in both games. Again, coming in, Callum McGregor, you think you're worried there's going to be a void and Kenny steps in. I say he's not exactly stepping in. He's played a lot of games beforehand, but playing excellent. And as you spoke about the defence, I think the back four, we won't really know until Kieran Tierney's back fit, if he stumbled upon it or if he's decided now that's how we're going to go. But yeah, no, really impressed. I think the depth there. I think Grant's playing there beside John, and John looks effortless for him. A lot of time, his distribution's excellent. I played a few times with him. My last cap was with him against Denmark, and he's really calm on the ball, really good to play with next to, and doesn't really ever stitch you up. And delighted he's staying fit and playing well for Rangers as well.
See, this is how I know we're in the presence of someone who knows all about it at the granular detail. He's on first name terms. Do you know, it's just Grant this and John that. Yeah. That's how you know. That's why we booked him for tonight. What an insight.
All that.
What an insight we're going to get.
Clarkie, terrific tactician.
Dad, Dad, he calls him. Gary
Stevie
is on.
Boy.
You wouldn't dare, are you kidding? Gary's on the line. How are you, Gary?
Aye, not too bad, mate. How's yours?
Good. What did you make of last night? Impressed?
Yeah, really impressed. Good, great performance. I mean, you couldn't have got any better scoring in the third minute and then the 93rd minute. Superb.
Yeah, it felt like there was something quite unScottish about the winner. Maybe that's just me being negative, but, well, especially this Nations League group. In fact, go back further. What was that fateful night when we nearly got the table flipped over by Hungarian maniacs in Stuttgart? Oh, was that the 100th minute?
Yeah.
Then you come into this, was it 95th minute, penalty against Poland? Ronaldo scored late in Lisbon. It feels like the end of games had always been going the other opposite way. It was nice to be on the right end of it.
Yeah, and what a finish it was. But we'll talk about the quality of the ball. And I think we'll all agree the quality of the ball was outstanding. Outstanding. But for a left back to come in, and by the way, when that ball's going in there, he's still second favourite. Give him all the credit in the world. He's still second favourite. But the determination from him was incredible. And to get there and bullet that header and give the goalkeeper absolutely no chance, you couldn't have asked for a better finish. You really couldn't have written the script. I'm delighted for everyone concerned. They do come in for a bit of criticism. I've sat here, you know, and you're talking about that game, Gordon. I was as disappointed as anybody in Germany with the last game, because everybody was saying the same about being negative, everything about it. Steve Clark come in for a bit of criticism. I just think we played with great flair, energy last night. And I keep going back to it. There's two players for me that's really stepped up. I think Doak has given us that excitement back. I love the way he plays. And one that wasn't a fan's favourite has been absolutely brilliant is Ken McLean.
Hmm. Who impressed you, Gary? Who are the standouts?
The boy on the right. These performances are just... He's just got no fear, taking on players all the time. He's just a really, really good young talent. I've been impressed with him the last few games, so yeah.
It's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it leaves us a wider discussion for everyone. How excited are you by Ben Doak out there? I'm just curious, because some people in their nature might say, I don't want to get carried away, or let's wait a bit, or we've hyped players up before, so that's fine, that's all valid. I just wonder how you're all feeling. You glad you don't need to face him in training?
I'm very much so glad I don't need to face him. I was scared even before. I was watching the 21s quite a lot. I was doing some kind of commentary for them, and he was playing, and he played against Spain, and Spain obviously had a lot of big names, and the money these young guys, maybe you wouldn't know of them, but they're worth a lot of money, and he was terrorising them. And I'm kind of sitting and I was waxing lyrical about him anytime I commented in the games. But I was watching going, is it 21s football? Maybe not. Like, how good is it? How hard is it? I didn't really play, so I can't really comment on it. And then I'm watching, he's just done the exact same thing at the top level. And by all accounts, he's meant to be brilliant day in, day out. And it's just nice to see him being fearless, being direct. And I think what it does is it complements the rest of the team with allowing, when teams are scared of someone in behind and the way he can get at them 1v1, they then need to compensate and be a wee bit more defensive, which then allows maybe your ball players, maybe Billy Gilmore, getting a wee bit more time. Teams can't be as aggressive on the press. So just the way it complements, I think John McGinn getting the two goals after not playing the first game, taking the first one in last night so well. It's just the kind of options, balance, everything just kind of seems to be fitting into place.
See, as a fullback, is it one of those that you kind of know what he's going to do, but you just can't really stop it? I mean, you see with obviously Vardy all the other night, you know, the price tag in Man City, I think, you know, at some point he's going to shift it down, but is it just too quick? Is that what the strength is?
Yeah, no, he's too quick in the stature of him. He can kind of get wiggle himself through you. I've seen it with Guardiola a couple of times, and then last night as well. And when he gets you into the box, you're in a very bit of dangerous territory to take him out. I just think for him, when he's on form, I think you need help. I think you're looking for your six to get across and tell you go the line. Like, he's that quick. His pace probably likens to maybe Frimpong when he was at Celtic. Obviously, I think Doak looks like a more natural dribbler, but Frimpong, if he squared you up 1v1, you were a pile of bother.
Gordon, how excited, you can kick us off, how excited are you by Ben Doak? Or are you still one, just bit of patience, bit of calm, wait and see? Or are we, you know, is this, I don't know, quantify it, is he the most exciting talent since X, or are you not sort of going that far?
I don't think we make enough of our young players and our young talent. And obviously this lad, unless he gets an injury, and hopefully not, he's going all the way to the top. He really is. What's been good for him is getting out and playing football. He went to Middlesbrough, he's playing Championship football, it's a good level. He's given his opportunity under Steve Clark. He just brings something different. In the modern day game, the one thing that frustrates the life out of me watching wingers is they get the ball and they take the easy way out, playing it back to the fullback. Or they'll just play a nice wee 5-yard pass inside to the midfield player. This guy, when he gets the ball and he turns around and he looks at a defender and it's 1v1, he's only got one thing in his mind. I'm going to take you on. I'm going to give you problems. And if he doesn't beat him, the next time he gets it, he goes again. And that's what I love about him. I just think that, as Stephen touched on it, that goes through the full team. You know, you look at a young kid and you're saying, look at the way this boy's going about his business, get the ball to him and everybody can just work off him. And no, I think we should start really talking our young players up. You look at Gilmore as well last night. What a terrific effort he had. He's in that Midley Park. He very seldom gives the ball away. It's about time we started talking up our players.
What else are you thinking, Gary? What else jumped out at you from last night?
Just a wee hypothetical question to you guys. I know it's a different style of football, but where do you think that Scotland team would finish in the Scottish Premier League?
Great. I can see us arguing about this between now and 8 o'clock.
Would they win it? with you in it, say with me in it.
In it, I would make the difference. I think they'd be up there, yeah. I think if you look across them individually, I think Celtic as a team maybe are a bit more fluent in the way they play. Obviously the performances in the Champions League, in the league itself. But yeah, I think when you look across their team, Billy Gilmore, Scott McTominay, Napoli, or Celtic getting the same people from Napoli. Andy Robertson.
John McGinn.
So there's a couple of positions, maybe not, but Craig Gordon played for Celtic.
That's a great question, isn't it?
It's a hard question.
By the way, Gary has just come out with a terrific question. I'm glad Stephen.
That is kind of the beauty of international football, or the challenge of it as well, because clearly for us, especially at the moment, but a lot of teams, you're balancing up a guys that maybe play at an incredible club level, guys that play at a different club level.
Play every week, don't play every week. It's a minefield.
I'm struggling to answer it. I love that question, but I don't know what's your right answer. Come so on, I'm leaving it all to him.
Well, he said up there. Is if they're going to be
my top six?
I think they get top six.
As if Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore are going to be mid table in the Scottish Premiership.
I think they'd win it.
Okay.
I think they'd win it. When my dad is manager, they win it by Christmas.
You giving us anything? No.
I don't know. I really don't.
It's a good question.
I'll tell you what, I'll go the opposite. I think they'll be safe. I think Celtic would win.
Right, there we go.
So you think Rangers would be third? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, Rangers ain't beating that side. I'll tell you now. Rangers ain't beating that side the way Rangers are just now. I'm sorry. Rangers are a bit to go.
Okay, Scott is on the other line. How are you, Scott?
How you doing? I'm very well, boys. Good evening.
What are you thinking tonight, Scott?
I'm thinking it was a great result, but don't get me wrong, it was great to get the last minute goal in that, which is normally against us, but I just think we're getting a wee bit overboard with Kenny McLean was this and this one was that. I thought a few, no picking on Kenny McLean, I thought he did his one of his better games playing quarterback recently for his last night. He actually done pretty good. But I just think Robertson probably had his worst game for us. McTominay could have probably had his two or three goals, he'd won his worst games for us. Obviously, they had a lot of chances. But that's what I always look at the other teams, many chances they create, geez, they'd punnels.
Did Scotland not have a lot of chances?
Hit the bar, that's what I was just getting round to that. I know they hit the post, hit the bar, but I think if you look at it, they created like far more better chances than we did. I might be wrong there. I'm not trying to put down on the boys, but I think when McGinn got interviewed after the game, he got it right, somebody asked him, oh, Braveheart, this event. No, it wasn't that, it was just to got the result. So I think, listen, if it finishes one each, I don't think we're all talking about how this one was great and the next thing. I know we've got the result and I'm over the moon, more than anybody, but I just think we're dilly-dallying on the ball at times. Your Ralstons, your the big Hanley character, he's been doing all right, but he's just, if we're going to proceed, we need to do better. He's cost us a penalty in a game, bad marking and different things in other games. I think we were so close. We've lost goals, be like one goal. Poland was just a shocker, the 3-2 game. We should have won that. And I think if we're better and defensively wise, I think we've got to tighten up at the back. I know if it's against Portugal, I know they had many headers they'd be missing the box. I know I'm going on a bit here, but they had unbelievable amounts of chances. And I think for our manager to take half Dokes again in 65 minutes, I think we got the result in spite of Clark last night. I was glad when he came in.
But see, the thing is though, Scott, you can't have it both ways then, because if Scotland lost last night, you're blaming Steve Clark. You're not phoning in here and saying, this isn't the manager's fault, by the way. So you can't make a substitution, Scotland win the game, and then say, but it's in spite of him. You see that? You can't do both of those.
That's not exactly what I'm saying. I know I've said it's in spite of him, but what I'm saying is, even if we...
even if we like drew that game last night, I'm still going on the phone and I'm saying, why are we taking half the wee man? You leave, see, for talking's sake, we're defending all, why are we not leaving him up at the halfway line? Because we've no out ball, we've got everybody back. I don't think with the pace he's got, he'll nip in and get something. It's just another, it's just just my opinion. I know it's
no, it's not. I watched the game like everybody else. Yeah. When he came off, I was going, oh, I don't know. But I think once you win the game, you just got to sort of,
you know, I think when he comes off, I think everyone would be a wee bit gutted, because he's like, you can see he's a creative player, he's somebody that's excitable. When you get the ball to him, you think something can happen, so I understand frustration with it. But there also is the broader idea that, well, was he maybe fatigued? He'd played the night before. He is young. We do need to look after them. I know you want to hype them up and say how good they're going to be, but you also need to, okay, we put him in a dangerous position to get injured. He'd been cemented not too long ago in the game. The way he plays, he gets smashed all the time. The creations left a couple on him. So we don't really know how his physical state was. We're not going to be privy to that. But look, the decision was made, rightly or wrongly, but then hindsight's a great thing, but we have hindsight and we won, so then we just need to look at it as a good decision for whatever reason it was. Whenever you touch on like Scott McTominay and Andy Robertson, like, well, so okay, we'll say they were poor, but just for talking sake, but the team themselves are trying to play a different brand of football. We're a lot more open, we're a lot more expansive. I think the manager will be disappointed at how many chances they did create, because Poland did create a lot of chances. I'm not going to say you're not telling the truth there. But we've changed from a team that was very rigid, very organised, didn't create much at all, to now we're creating chances, we're conceding chances, but it's a bit of a, we're practising at the highest level. You want to be practising this in maybe friendly games. We're doing this against the top teams, and I think to come away with 7 points in that group is a very, very good return.
I think it depends your starting point. If Andy's saying this was an all-time performance, then I think Scott's right. Maybe that's overboard. He references the John McGinn. I think it was a Polish journalist or a foreign journalist said something about Braveheart, and he said, oh, don't get carried away. But I don't think any of us have said that. I don't think it is as good as the Spain performance or the Denmark performance or any of those.
No, but they still deserve credit, Gordon. You can't have it both ways and beat them with a stick when they get beat, you know, and talk about the way they played and the performance and the lack of efforts and goals. Scotland had that in abundance last night. They were very good to watch going forward. They created, they hit the bar, they hit the post. Dykes has had a terrific header and great save. Yes, we all know that you're going to give up chances. You're away from home against Poland too. Have got some exceptional players.
I think
players.
Scotland had more shots on target and had the two that hit the... Yeah.
But I'll go back to a couple of things. You listened to Steve Clark, I think it was on the Monday. He teed up the fact that Doakes wasn't going to play the full 90 minutes. You knew that right away. The reason I'm patting people like Kenny McLean the back, because Kenny McLean's had that much criticism with Scotland. Kenny McLean's been terrific since he came back in.
Thank you very much to Scott in Knightswood. Good time to call if you want to get involved in the discussion. Do it right now and we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Clyde One. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell and Gordon Dalziel are here. 26 Scotland caps between them, looking back on last night's game. So do get in touch and let us know what you made of it, what you made of the group as a whole, if you're looking at the permutations and the pots and all that sort of stuff for the World Cup. If you want to give us your thoughts on specific players, how excited are you by Ben Doak, or are you one of the don't get carried away brigade? Either way, we'll take your thoughts. John Souter's been getting mentions, Kenny McLean, the skipper, of course, Andy Robertson with the winner. So whatever jumps out from you, give us a call. Let's hear from Stevie Clark. These were his post-match thoughts.
The players didn't lose belief. I didn't lose belief in the players. And they end up taking 7 points for the last three games, which gets us into that playoff. So the more you play at this level, the more you learn how to win the games. And that's what we've proved. We now start next year with a tough playoff to try and stay at the highest level of the Nations League, but that'll set us up for a tough World Cup campaign, and we're ready for it. We've shown that we're ready for it.
Let's bring in John, who's on the line. What jumped out for you, John? Hello, John. Oh, he's there somewhere. No. Calling John. Never mind. You can just, don't know, talk amongst yourselves. You're the manager, you're gaffer. Stephen, how important has the last couple of games been for him, do you think? I'm sure you wouldn't have been as critical as other people, but nevertheless, it was there, rightly or wrongly. So how important do you think it was the last couple?
I think really important. I think when you're on any run, it's always important you try and end it as soon as you can. Sadly for Scotland, it kind of ran a wee bit longer than maybe it should have or could have. But to get the two wins and a draw against good opposition, it does set them up, or set the squad up for the upcoming World Cup campaign, which is the most important thing. It's possible, I think Steve Clarke had said, maybe his last, kind of suggested he would run his contract out. I think there was talk of that. And if he was to qualify for the World Cup, three tournaments out of four, it would certainly set up his kind of reign as Scotland manager as a ridiculously successful one. And just playing at that level, competing, playing good football, I just think it's a real positive time.
It's always felt, Gordon, that the sort of one win in 13, 14, 15, 16 as it became, I always felt like there was a bit too much weight given to that, because at another time, you're not in Nations League A. There's a tournament in there as well, and we chose, for whatever reason, friendlies against France, Netherlands, England, that all contributed to that. A couple of those other winless games were qualifiers against Norway and Georgia, which we drew, but we were already qualified, and those results were fine. However, you also can't completely get away from it. I'm not saying you ignore it, and still one win in 16, and it was against Gibraltar. You couldn't have ignored that, so I'm not going as far the other way. Having said that, then, is that why it's important? Because all that stuff now is not irrelevant, but you've clearly put that to bed. If you draw with Portugal, beat Croatia and beat Poland.
Yeah, people... you make a good case there for the Scotland manager, Gordon, even if he hadn't have been successful in the last three games. But fans don't like that. Fans look at results first and foremost. They don't buy into, well, we were playing top quality teams. They think they're better than everyone else, and they think they can get results. But the manager was under pressure, no doubt. Look, I don't know if it was forced. Maybe it was because of Tierney. He's went into a back four. He's changed that shape. It's allowed him to get out-and-out wingers like Doke into it, younger players into the squad, into the games. Defensively, yeah, they gave up a couple of chances last night, but you've still got to beat a 42-year-old goalkeeper who's in terrific form. He's really good, Craig Gordon, even at that age. But they created chances. And you look at guys, I thought the big call was Friday night. He left out McGinn. He gets him on, scores. Last night, I see a different spring in his step, like, well, I need to perform here to keep my place. I think he's got to take a bit of credit. He knows he came in for a lot of criticism. We had it on this show. Guys like us were talking about, well, you can't keep going and saying performances are good, things are looking good, but we're not winning games, because it's a results-driven business, as they say. So it was important for him to get the results, and... you know what I mean? Stephen and guys that have worked under him that appreciate him probably more than we do, I'll be delighted for him.
Brian's on. What have you got for us, Brian? What jumped out for you?
Well, I thought it was a fantastic game last night. And I really look at it as a culmination of Steve Clarke's ethos, his push. Now, we've listened to the show, and I've listened to people, and you don't do that where you pick at the bones of him while he's in the middle of something. You pick at the bones of him at the end of things. Now, he's got us to two tournaments. I really, truly believe that he's building something in the club for him. As I've said before on the show about Steve Clarke, he's a club manager. He wants a club ethos in Scotland. And that shows when he's bringing young Ben Doak in. Ben Doak was fantastic. But you could get four or five games like that, and then he could go four or five games off the boil. But what he's definitely instilled, he lost probably one of his best players in Callum McGregor. He's then put the onus on to the boys that, I mean, like, you know, like Stephen McLean last night was fantastic. He played well above his what I've seen for him playing. I believe that's something to do with the manager, and the manager saying, look, there's your opportunity to go back in here and do, you know, as a senior international, do the job that's needed, and allow these young guys like Ben Doak to play like off the cuff almost. But you had Robertson last night, and I mean, I don't know what game Scott earlier on, and I don't want to slag the guy off, but you're watching Scotland playing against a very quick, I mean, that's what I noticed. The game was very quick and a lot of chances for both sides, but it was a great game of football. And it comes down to the manager. He's got to receive all the plaudits for last night and all the plaudits for the Croatia. He dug in against Portugal. He's got the boys really working hard for each other. But it's not just working hard and getting lucky. They're actually playing decent, decent, like a club side almost. Decent,
yeah,
football.
See the style thing, Gordon? Like, it's not everything, because we always say, we know in the time, so it says you can shoot down statistics. So it's, but it's just, it's there if you want it. It was away from home, obviously. I think it was 58% possession to 42. I think it was about 150 more passes than Poland. It's just stats. I'm not saying that's the end of the world, but just maybe an idea of a team that's capable of going away from home to decent opposition and having that level of control. I know there were some ropey moments, to be fair.
Yeah, I just think we looked brighter. I was a bit concerned early on when straight balls were going over the top of our defence and the Poland players were getting in, and obviously you're thinking, right, we need to watch, we need to be careful. I think we dealt with that a little bit better in the second half, but remember the opposition, good players in there as well, away from home, the pitch was absolutely massive. I thought we looked a lot sharper last night on the front foot, everything about us, middle to front. For me, Kenny McLean came to the international scene when he played against Portugal two or three games ago. He was excellent in the middle of the park, excellent. And I think that bit of confidence, as Brian was saying, the manager believing in you, putting you in there and saying, no, you're good enough to go and start and play. Believing in Ben Doak to go and play as well. And I think everybody fit it in. Yes, you look at your big hitters, like people were saying about McTominay. McTominay played his part. Right, the amount of runs he made was incredible. He's taking players away. So it was a team effort for me last night. And do you know what? I am delighted. I thought they deserved it, because you get a lot of criticism. When things aren't going right for you, the easiest thing is people to come on, criticise you, tell you where you're going wrong. But last night, they kept going, showed great character, and the goal just summed it up for me.
Brian mentioned this club ethos or club mentality. Every international team says they want it. Every international team says they have it, and they don't always. Is it there? Because you look at the so-called big hitters, McTominay and Robertson and McGinn and so on, always there, always available, always turning up, very rarely withdrawing, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Well, even you go Kenny McLean, who has a number of caps now, but for how often has he been a guaranteed starter? Don't think he's ever pulled out. Maybe once or twice over the full times. Now, that could have been injury, obviously, but that kind of shows the mentality. But you also get the flip side to that. To create that, you need to maybe have a bit more kind of faith and trust in players, even when they're going kind of through kind of lulls or maybe poorer stages in their career. And that's how you get that atmosphere. You get that belief that the manager kind of is going to stick with me if I do a good job for him. And it, obviously, it paid dividends for myself.
So I was going to say, is that something you've felt? Is that a real benefit? Because on the outside, how easy is it? We all do it and say, you know, from one camp to the next, well, he's now in form, so he should be out and he should be in and he should be out and he should be in, when clearly that wouldn't be anything close to a club 100%.
And that's exactly where it needs to be. Obviously, case by case, player by player, position by position. At some point, you do need to bring in like the fresher ones, like Doak before him, Nathan Patterson and Billy Gilmore came straight into the Euro squad. So if players are good enough, they obviously can come in. But if you just throw somebody out the minute they've maybe been injured and they miss a couple of games, you then lose that kind of comfort that everyone has from knowing familiar faces. It needs to change at times, but it's the same with the staff. He tries his best to keep the staff kind of similar. I know there's been a few changes with that, but it's just to get a continuity about the place, which helps create the club environment.
Thank you very much to Brian. It's a good time for me to tell you about this. Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £400,000. Yep, that time of the year, every night when I drive in here, I go along Dumbarton Road and I see an extra tree being added along the way. They go early on that road, believe
they go
me.
Early April.
Well, they've been up for a long time, I have to say. But Christmas is not that far away at all. And for kids across Glasgow and the West and Ayrshire, it is one of the most exciting times of the year. Stephen O'Donnell's got a few of them, so I'm sure he's looking forward to the excitement that it all brings. But every year on Mission Christmas, we want to make sure that every child can get that excited feeling, because with food to buy, homes to heat, winter clothes to buy, there are families clearly that are struggling, and then Christmas treats understandably become a bit of a luxury. No child should miss out, I think you'd all agree. So you can help us make a difference by supporting Cash for Kids. With your help, we can make sure every family's got the essentials that they need: food, clothes, heating, and then hopefully something extra just for the kids to open on the big day. One of the charities we support is Royston Youth Action, who are helping families with Mission Christmas's help. Mark Gallagher from the charity tells us why it's still so important.
Times are harder now across the country, but I also feel like there's more demand for things. So without this stuff, families will lose out. So we keep it local, we keep it contained, but we also make it memorable. For it's going to be lifelong memories. You're going to remember this forever, coming along to see the reindeers, spending time with your kids, laughing and joking and just relaxing. And we're taking that stress away when you come through the door, and you're forgetting about the stresses of everyday life. So for us, it's more about being that outlet for the families. So if anybody can donate to that, I'd absolutely encourage it, because you're doing more than you think you're doing. Just by seeing the everyday changing mood, the attitude, and people would then buy into it, I think, in terms of coming along supporting the local organisations like Royston Youth Action.
You'll hear us throw out a lot of nonsense football stats, I'm sure, on this show. One stat to remember, and it is a bad one, is that in some parts of Glasgow in the West, as many as one in two children are living in poverty. So we can't always make it this big magical day, but with your help, we can just make it a bit different for the children in our communities that really do need your help. We also guarantee every single penny goes straight back to those people that need it most. So if you want to help and donate, please do Clyde1.com/mission, and that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Clyde One. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. If you want to get involved, and please do. John is on the line now. How are you, John? Not again. Surely not. Oh, I thought he was there. I could have swore he was
Hi,
there.
Hi, Gordon. It's John. I'd just like to ask.
Never mind. It might be my fault. I just thought he was there on this occasion, I have to say. He doesn't seem to be. We'll get Craig lined up in just a second. Craig is on the other line. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, yourself.
We've got you, Craig. Take it away. What's your point tonight?
I think, as much as Steve Clark's done a great job, I think I've said this before, but even though we've had two really good results, but I think still he's took as far as we can go with him under his tenure.
When you say still, though, right? So you've clearly had that opinion before, which is fine, and as you're right and all that sort of stuff. So you've had the opinion he's taken us as far as we can go. But you then draw against Portugal, beat Croatia, beat Poland, and you see, you know, he's still taking us as far as we can go. Is that not taking us further from where we were when you first had that opinion? Surely that's an improvement.
It is an improvement, but I still think the whole ethos of the team, I think there's certain things that he does that just makes me think, like playing on London Knights last week, I don't understand that when he's not scored, been scoring in League One very much. I just don't understand that.
What would you do different, though? Because I suppose that's the challenge of international football, isn't it? I don't think anyone is shouting from the rooftops that Lyndon Dykes is the best striker in the world, but I mean, to state the obvious, you can only pick the Scottish guys. So you've got Tommy Conway, Lyndon Dykes in League One, Lauren Shankland with one league goal this season. You know, what do you do then? If that's such a horrendous decision, what's the right decision?
Shankland is a goal scorer. He's just in a poor Hearts team at the moment, is my opinion. I think Shankland, you put him on the park and he'll score goals.
I don't know. I mean, I get Craig's allowed it. It just feels like we scored goals the other night and scored them on Friday, and that's why we won the games. So I don't know. The timing feels weird.
What, Craig, who are you talking about taking over for Steve Clark, and who would you replace him with?
I would go with David Moyes. I would give him a shout anyway. and see if he's willing to take the job on.
I don't know if David Moyes is ready for international football, but it was a good shout, good answer, because he is a very experienced manager. Managed at top level, obviously, but I think you're just a bit unfair on Steve Clarke. I really do. Look, I think everybody, we need to get over the disappointment of the summer, right? It was, we built it up. We actually were going over to Germany thinking we were going to get to the final. We became an England. But unfortunately, it just didn't happen for us. We got off to the worst possible start, and then the last game was a real, real disappointment for everyone. So Steve Clarke had a big job to do to build that trust again round about him. But I think, and this was, Stephen can answer a lot better than me, I think the players buy into everything he does. I think the players like him. I think the players want to play for him. I think he's introducing young players. Look, he's changed his system as well. Everybody was talking about, you know, we need to play more attacking football. We need wingers in. We need to change the system. He's changed the system. He's brought in younger players. He's given players an opportunity. For me, you look at, he's making one or two a bit better. Kenny McLean, we keep touching on him tonight. All of a sudden, he looks like he's not out of place. Whereas everybody, when he come on as a sub, was, oh, here he comes again. It's the manager's favourite, putting him on the part in front of X, Y, and Z. I just think that Steve Clarke gets a rough ride. I really do. I'm first to criticise when I think it's there, but the last three games, I think, is very, very hard to criticise a manager.
I certainly think I could understand your criticism. I wouldn't necessarily agree with it, but I could understand your thoughts in the summer, because we didn't have many shots on goal. We weren't particularly enjoyable to watch. We weren't picking up results. So it's like that thing when you play football that's maybe a bit more negative, if you want to describe it as that, you need to win or you need to get results, because when you don't, you then find yourself, what are we bringing to the table? So if we'd started off this campaign with the three defeats and playing similar, I would have been, again, I'd have been going, okay, maybe, again, you're right, Craig, but seeing there was something that needed to change to really compete at the top, I think he's changed it. I think players coming into the fold that are capable of performing in the way he wants them, because again, as Gordon spoke about, is you're only as good as the players you can pick. You can't go and sign someone. It makes it, like, I see the progression. I see he can take them further, because we've witnessed the last six games of better performances, different shape, different style, dominating the ball, and against top opposition. So I that for me would be the argument to say I think you're wrong with that, but equally it's a game of opinions.
It's just, yeah, it is. So I get it, Craig, initially, but how can you not as well just sort of phoning up, no offence, and just saying, look, I don't like Steve Clarke, I'll never like Steve Clarke, and just be honest about that? Because, you know, if you're now telling us that after Portugal draw, Croatia win, Poland win, you know, sack Steve Clarke because he played Lyndon Dykes instead of Lauren Shankland. I mean, it doesn't really stack up, does it?
No, it's not just that. I think over the course of the last, like, 10 games, like, he's made bad decisions and he's picking off the squad and stuff. And he has started bringing in, like, your Ben Doak and stuff, who looks like a world beater, but he's at an early stage. But I think there's just been times where he's made bad decisions and he's picking his squad and stuff.
I don't think there's a manager out there that gets every decision right. Look, we've all got our opinions, and sometimes we look and thinking, right, like Ben Doak last night, he will have his reasons to take Ben Doak off the pitch. He'd already covered that in his interview on Monday. We're talking about, you know, how good he's been, and obviously he's played a lot of football, international football, in the last few days, and sort of protecting the boy. And that's what his job's there as well for. He's got to protect his players. I just think that the last three games, you can't criticise a manager.
Is there anyone in particular you wouldn't have picked in the squad? Like, was there someone that stood out that you went, he's a must, why are you not picking him? Like, you're miles off it.
Well, I think, like, Suter was getting overlooked quite often.
But he's now not, though. This is the bit I can't really get about the timing of it, Craig. You know, he's... John Suter played for Scotland before other guys overtook him. He deserved to get back in. He got back in. He's taking his chance. So again, to recap, you want Steve Clarke out because he previously didn't pick John Suter.
I'm not saying as if I think Steve Clark's the worst manager in the world. I just think we need a change to progress to the next, to go up one level, go up one more level, be a bit more competitive. I know we've been competitive the last three games, but that's just...
So you want to be more competitive, but you know we've been competitive. This is, I feel like it's unravelling a bit. Well, thank you for your time. That was Craig on the line, and we play this already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to come on here and win a signed ball if you can beat Gordon Dale or Stephen O'Donnell. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell and Gordon Dalziel are here. 01419511025. If you want to talk Scotland last night and the group overall, the playoff, the permutations, the World Cup seedings, all that sort of stuff. Ben Doak, John Souter, Kenny McLean, Andy Robertson, whoever else you fancy, give us a call. Rangers fans, keen to get your thoughts on Nils Koppen being the new sporting director at Ibrox. And sad news for Dumbarton fans today as the club slips into administration. So any thoughts there, get them over whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. I can never remember of you. You join us sort of sporadically when you can find time in your schedule. Are you...
You played?
I've done it once.
Just once?
I think I won, but it was brutal and I hate it.
No, hold on a minute. You wouldn't think you won if you won, you but no, you I did know that. You won.
No, I knew I won. I just, it was like an ugly one.
Mate,
I didn't really deserve it.
Right, okay.
I played the last 11 times. Many do you think? Many.
Oh, I can tell your enthusiasm in the question. None. You've won everyone.
No, he's lost.
No, I lost.
You lost your
I
last
lost
one
Thursday, yeah. Oh. I was on a great run. You know what happens now, don't you?
He was doing the unthinkable in Glasgow. He managed the 10 and then lost it in the next one. So yeah. David's on the line. How are you, David?
I am good, thanks. Yourself?
Good, thanks. Kilmarnock fan, David?
Aye.
A big fan of Stephen O'Donnell's work, or is he like dead to you now, or how does that relationship work? I can't quite remember.
No, Stevie was good for us, man.
You almost sounded like you meant that. Did you not actually, you were, because you like to, obviously, you know, your current Motherwell player, you like to keep your hand in. Were you not doing some punditry in the Killie European games at the start of this season?
I was. I'd done the first leg and it was really enjoyable. I didn't get booed, which is nice.
Did I not hear you call them us at one point? Or we?
No.
I get fined for that, just for the heads up. I don't think I thought, look, there was people on my team of like not celebrating and stuff. I celebrated who against Kilmarnock.
Who did that? news of that hasn't reached this show.
Would you celebrate it if you scored against Kilmarnock?
I did.
Oh, did you?
Right.
What?
I don't have an issue.
So you went on TV this season, called Kilmarnock. Was us. It us or we? Us.
Us. We. I think we.
Who us. Heard it and find you?
Everybody. It's like I've never known so many of the team to watch the Kilmarnock European game.
Who's the fines master?
I was involved in it, but it was the fines masters. Andy was loud. Paul McGinn was loud. Don't think Tony Watt was in at the time, which thankful for that.
Loud also.
And I think the gaffer got involved. I think the gaffer.
That's poor from him, isn't it? Still playing for a team in the same league.
Deserves everything he gets. Us.
Right, David, have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
No, this is my first time.
Right, heads, it will be the man whose poster you used to have on your wall, Stephen O'Donnell, and tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. Yes, it is as well. Stephen O'Donnell up against David from Kilmarnock. So what we give here is something else in Stephen's headphones, so that he can't hear what's going on. David, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Okay, okay.
Right, your 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who did John McGinn overtake in the Scotland scoring charts last night?
Kenny Dalglish.
Which League One club is nicknamed the Suns?
Dumbarton.
How many Belgian clubs has Philippe Clement managed?
One.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Is it Hart?
What club connects Marvin Bartley, Andy Halliday and Kenny Miller?
Hibs.
Nils Koppen joined Rangers from which Dutch club?
I don't know.
Just guess one.
PSV.
Okay, let's bring back Stephen O'Donnell. Can you hear us? Are you panicking?
I'm getting, there's psychological warfare going on here. I don't like it. He's giving out 5 out of 5.
He's a nightmare to play alongside. Oh, hold on a second. Have you seen the video? It's even better than I could have hoped. Do you remember last week when I caught you cheating?
I didn't cheat. I don't.
I've seen that. I've seen that.
Somebody's heard before.
Well,
have you seen it?
Listen, I'll say to you is, we'll have a practice.
The video's out there. The question, what? Go on to our social media channels and you'll see the video. The question is, how many Japanese players are at Celtic? How many of Celtic's Japanese players are in the squad? This madman taps his pen 3 times on the desk to try and send a message to Cammy Bell that the answer was 3.
He wants to be a millionaire.
Cammy's not that sharp. He said 2, got it wrong, but I was on to you, and we've now put video VAR footage.
Ridiculous, I don't cheat.
On social media. Right, Stephen, are you ready?
First one's easy, mate.
Will you be quiet, please? 30 seconds on the clock.
Don't get it wrong,
but your time starts now. Who did John McGinn overtake? Whoa, what's happened here? Oh, no. This is not good. They're trying to throw you off. Somebody's pressing the wrong buttons just to try and throw you off.
I know the answer.
No, I think. No, we've now had this.
You
is
can't
like,
change it.
This is the worst time ever for this to happen.
Take like, 5 seconds off me because I'm getting one.
The live stream's gone off and everything. No, this is bad news. This is
it's good news
really
for him.
Bad news.
His face will calm down.
He's back. Right, are we on? Can we just keep going?
Right, don't give him the first one because he's too long to think about. That's terrible.
No, right, your time starts now. Just answer it.
Fletcher.
No. Which League One club is nicknamed the Suns?
It's Dumbarton.
How many Belgian clubs has Philippe Clement managed?
2.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Hearts.
Which club connects Marvin Bartley, Andy Halliday and Kenny
Livingston.
Miller? Nils Koppen joined Rangers from which Dutch club?
Don't have a clue.
Yanis Hadji represents which country?
Romania.
Who are Celtic's next opponents in the Champions League?
Oh, I should know. I don't know.
I've never seen Andy collapse as much in all my life.
What an all-round shambles that
was. Mate,
you have just his face was getting redder and redder.
How do you think it went, David? David, how do you think it went?
I think Stevie's got this one.
Was he taking a mic? Was he good?
By the way, if he can't beat you, I'm chucking this.
Thanks to a technical difficulty, you had 4 minutes to answer the first question and you still got it wrong.
I think I know the answer. Who did
John McGinn overtake in the Scotland scoring chart last
night?
It was
Andy Robertson was in my head.
Ali McCoy,
wasn't
it? Ali McCoy.
The mistake you made, Andy Robertson went level with Darren Fletcher on 80 caps.
All these big things happening.
Just listen to the question.
He's gone.
0-0. The Suns are, of course, Dumbarton. You both got it.
I panicked at that one as well.
How many Belgian clubs has Philippe Clement managed? It is 3. None of you got it. Bruges, Genk, and Beveren. Who's bottom of the Premiership? Both said Hearts. It's Hibs.
He said Hearts as well. Mm-hmm. I just hang up in the two of them.
So it's 1-1.
There's not even a ball going out of here.
It is 1-1. What club connects Marvin Bartley, Andy Halliday, and Kenny Miller? It's Livy. 2-1 to Stephen.
Yes, come on. And I was quick on that as well.
However, Nils Koppen joined Rangers from PSV, and David got it.
How did you get that?
Well, I just told him to guess one, and he got it. So anyway,
tie break,
so we're
you
level.
You're saying final.
Yanis Hadji represents Romania.
Boom.
3-2 in front, Stephen.
No, he didn't get that.
He didn't get
yes.
that. And for the record, I don't know, I couldn't possibly speculate as to what you meant when you said, I should know that, when I said about Celtic's next opponents.
Bruges.
But it is Club Bruges.
No, because I've watched every game in the Champions League.
All right, okay.
It's a big deal, just wondering.
Did David get that?
He didn't. Stephen O'Donnell wins 3-2. Devastated.
2-2. You're only as good as your last game.
David, what happened?
Run out of time.
Run out of time is because you went too slow.
I think could have given you an hour half hour, mate.
Oh, dearie me.
I knew the last 2 questions.
Typical. Thank you very much to David from Kilmarnock.
I'm even getting abused off my family
already. Someone on here did, I actually can't remember, someone did come in here like as a sort of one-off, or was only on a couple of times, and they got a 0 as a pundit, and they said genuinely their full family was just like slaughtered them.
Hey,
look how
was,
relieved he is.
I know, I can't believe he won. I've never seen MD panic sitting next to me.
The
like
first
you.
Question is horrendous though, because not only have you got it in your head, You've just ignored so many aspects to the question.
John McGinn goes. I think Ali McCoy should have slapped my head, so I think I might have got that wrong. It shouldn't have.
Did you not hear it in the commentary last night?
No. I did. I was watching. I did. And when you talk about it, I know exactly. I'm just.
There's a way you convinced us. I know that one.
Incredible. Anyway.
I was actually like, don't take it out.
3-2.
I know. You have to leave it in. I know the answer. You've already asked the question.
I'm all over it.
Terrible.
I'm 1-0 up.
A couple of great accolades for what it's worth. All seriousness, John McGinn overtaking Ali McCoist. They're both called super for the respective fan bases. And I love that story. We can get back to it. All about the storylines in football. How's about that? Andy Robertson in 2014 makes his debut for Scotland in that stadium in Warsaw. And 10 years later, 80th cap, scores the winner, third in the all-time appearance list.
Also scored in Steve Clarke's first game. And that's the first one since.
It's a nice full circle.
Who was
that,
his first goal against then, Steve Clarke's first game?
Cyprus. Oh, that was Cyprus. Cyprus. The debut was Poland.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, Craig is on about something slightly different. We can go back to Scotland at some point. We're here until 8 o'clock, so if you want to keep going, you can. The big club news, certainly from Ibrox today, Craig, is Niels Koppen is the new sporting director of Rangers. What do you make of that?
I don't want to say job for the boys, Gordon, but that's what it reminds me of. Back in the bad old days. But it's who on earth sanctioned this? Sorry, I've not heard the rest of the show, so...
No, you're the first one on about this, don't worry.
All right, okay. it's who on earth has promoted this guy? You know, there's nobody above him. Who gave Clermont the contract at the start of the season? That's the other question. For me, it's quite bizarre. And I was listening to Chris Boyd. Sorry, I'm talking about a different kind of like channel.
Oh, that's fine. Don't worry. He's all right.
But Boyd was basically saying the same things. It's like, who? And I couldn't disagree with him. But the main issues I've got with what Cotton said was, oh, we're going to start signing Scottish players. We're going to start bringing these youth players through. What does that mean? I mean, it's as if there's been some kind of blanket on that the last, you know, however many years. The highest profit Rangers have sold a player for in the last... because Calvin Bassey was that. But Nathan Patterson went for, you know, tens of millions of pounds. But obviously Calvin Bassey was higher. But my issue is, listen, I go to a lot of the B games, you know, and I said to your producer there, if I'm being honest, it's to bulk up the Major's points.
Fair enough.
But, and Archie Stevens and Finlay Curtis are two players in that B team who should be closer to the first team. I'm not in a pet shop, by the way, if you can in a bird in the background. But... if I was the likes of Finlay Curtis, I would be saying to myself, why can the guy Ngami, or however you pronounce his name, the guy we bought for 1.8 million, how is he ahead of me in that Rangers team? The only kind of argument I can cling to is Clermont is that feared of his job. He's going by the guys that are letting him down every week and he's scared to change it because Agamani, or however you want to pronounce it, or whatever, Finlay Curtis would get in. And as I say, I'm sorry to keep going on about Chris Boyd, but he made a very good point earlier. I don't know if anybody heard it, but Rangers strikers have been struggling to get through for years and years and years. And we've heard all along about this player trading model and this, that, and the other, and what Coppin went on about. It's non-existent, and it's been non-existent since before Gerrard. Gerrard, I know a lot of my fellow fans think Gerrard's the answer and he's some kind of, you know, demigod that's going to come back and solve everything. Steven Gerrard won one trophy out of nine and it was arguably the most important trophy in our history. But it was one trophy in nine. The football was horrendous. He is not the answer. Philip Clement's not the answer. I don't know. I've mentioned Derek McInnes before, but so I'm giving you a lot of points to dissect there, but
listen, that's fine. Let's work your way through them because I actually think there's something quite telling in the fact that there's a number of points covered because sporting director is quite a vague term. It's obviously like an umbrella term for, and it means different things at different clubs, Gordon. And Craig's right, because then you're thinking about, okay, bringing through youth players, thinking about recruitment that Nils Koppen was previously in charge of, thinking about first team matters, and that's it. I mean, the statement today from Rangers says he'll resume responsibility for men's academy, medical, football operations, performance analysis. That's what a sporting director does. So I think at the heart of all this is probably Craig's first point, because we need to be honest about this. Nils Koppen might go on to be an outstanding, wonderful sporting director. Mm. How do we know? Okay. But what I think is understandable from Rangers fans like Craig, who kick it off by going,
who promotes?
So what's the structure like at the moment? The answer would be John Gilligan is chairman of the board, so it would be a board decision. John Gilligan's the acting chair of that board, so that's fine. But other people would say, well, should you, if you're on the lookout for a CEO and have been for a while now, should the CEO maybe be in place first, then they appoint the sporting director, and then, you know, those two work together. Craig mentions about jobs for the boys. I don't know if that's a bit harsh, but certainly promotion from within. Yes, it's a different role, but other Rangers fans are looking at it and saying, well, it's not like he's been an outstanding, overwhelming success as, you know, head of recruitment, and therefore he must be promoted to this new role. So I think there's a lot of doubt just at the initial stages of this news today.
They seem to get a lot of things wrong just now, Rangers. It seemed to work from a script bottom to the top rather than work from top to bottom, work your way down. You're talking about the CEO. Of course he should come in first, because then everything's got to be lined up with that. Who works under him, how the relationships go, how they go forward. The big question for me, right, and you said there about the board and everything, and who makes the decisions. Obviously, it has come from the board. My big question would be quite simple. Has he done enough to have the confidence in him to go and fulfil this role? And if you're a Rangers fan, you're looking at the transfers just now under his reign. And I don't think it's exciting a lot of people. You look at the amount of money Rangers got for players getting out, sold very cheap. I think the difference was bought in about 11.5 million, sold 5.5 million, just for a matter of figures. That doesn't tell me it's working greatly there now, Gordon. And I don't think the squad's working greatly. I know they touched on, we're bringing these young players in, the manager's got to make them better. They thought they'll probably sell them on. I don't look at a Rangers player just now and think, see, in about 2 years' time, you're going to be worth a Matt O'Reilly.
I suppose the thing is, time would tell on that. And I'm not saying this is going to happen. I just mean, maybe you get to that stage, and I don't know, maybe Jeffy has flourished, or Diamandi, or I take people who would say, oh, it doesn't look very likely at the moment. That's fine. We all know Rangers are not performing brilliant. So I don't know, Stephen. These positions now in modern football, there is a bit of, oh, look at this. He's getting phone calls from current Scotland internationals whilst he's on the show. Whoa. I just saw his phone there.
Did you?
That's exciting. He wants to answer it. Hold it up to the mic.
I'll answer it.
I've lost my train of thought now. Thanks for that. Very rude. You know, there's an element of, from the outside, we know what these jobs do. But let's be honest, see, when people hear sporting director, they just kind of think recruitment, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, fans don't really know what's gone into the organisational stuff about sports medicine and all that stuff. We mean recruitment. That's what everyone gets based on, isn't it?
I think certainly, I've not been at the size of clubs that have kind of really had the essential need for it. Kilmarnock brought one in, I'm sure, when I was there. But I sometimes think, maybe he's been brought in to make a bigger call than that. That's something that maybe the board don't feel they can make. Maybe about the manager, could be something like that. But equally, it's a big, certainly seems like a big role, a lot of responsibility, and hopefully he's the right man for the job, because I've said it before, that the Scottish League needs to be competitive, and Celtic need a good Rangers, and Rangers need a good Celtic, and I just hope that the gap can be bridged, because it makes it, obviously Aberdeen are doing a great job just now.
Yeah, but the big problem is, if you bring in a CEO and he has different thoughts from now your sporting director that they have appointed before you, you're giving yourself a problem right away. Some of the big hitters that maybe Rangers want as a CEO think, right, we want him, I think he'd be doing a terrific job. They might look at the structure and say, do you know what? The structure's not for me, because that should be done from top to bottom.
Maybe they're thinking, no, we need to get, I'm completely to talk of your point. Maybe they're thinking, okay, we don't have quite the perfect CEO yet. we think we've maybe looking for him or that. So we can get this guy in because it's in-house.
Already here.
Might be a wee bit cheaper. I know it's like sometimes you promote youth and stuff, it can be the cheaper option. Maybe it's that. And then we can get rid of him or maybe put him back down if it's not, if his face doesn't fit. Or he might do a great job, we look like geniuses, but is it maybe a stopgap? That could, I know they're never going to say that, but it could be that as
well. It's interesting, Craig. I know there are a lot of points, so we'll watch this one with interest. Thank you for getting in touch. It's a good time to call. You can elaborate there. You can go back to Scotland. You can do whatever you like within reason. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell is here, as is Gordon DL. So 0141 951 1025 if you want to get in touch. You can tweet us as well. We can go back to Scotland if you don't think we've rinsed that. We can revisit the Nils Coppen stuff from just before the break, talking about him being the new sporting director of Rangers. I know lots of you out there have an opinion on that, Rangers fans. I've seen the social media stuff today, so why not give us a call? I've got a full time teaser for you first.
Right, come on.
I'm interested in this one. Nathan sent it in. Can you name five Scottish players to win an English Premier League winners medal? Five Scottish players.
Robertson.
To win an English Premier League winners medal. Andy Robertson, yes.
McTominay?
No.
Did he know one? Or Man U know one? Nope. Okay.
It's been a while since they won the league, remember?
Yeah, okay.
FA Cup boys won that, hasn't he? And
right, okay. Scottish players. Man City must be looking round about there.
Really?
I think it's going way back.
Some of them, yeah.
Way back.
English Premier League era though, so 92 onwards.
Oh, that's a long way back.
So that was Blackburn were the first ones. So
well, they weren't Colin first, Henry. But well done, Colin Hendry. Okay, we'll leave it there. That's 2 out of 5. Can't argue with that. Nathan sent it in fulltime@clyde1.com. You've got until the end of the show to come up with the answers, so you don't need to rush just now. I'll give you some thinking time. Although I gave you some thinking time accidentally on Beat the Pundit, and it didn't really go too well either. Stevens and Girvan, how are you, Stephen?
Not bad, thank you.
What are you thinking tonight?
I'd just like to admit that I think I was wrong about Steve Clark. As much as I think he has made mistakes, and he's especially at the Euros, I have to admit that I don't think there's anyone better to take us forward, and he really has done a good job. And I'd like to ask Stephen, if possible, what is it he thinks makes us not perform well in tournaments? Why are we getting to tournaments and we just seem to not be, we're a shadow of ourselves?
Good question.
Look, it's hard for me to talk about certainly the one I was in. I think it was very new to us all. I think the easiest game on paper was the first one against Czech Republic, and I think maybe came a wee bit too early for us, maybe a wee bit kind of overwhelmed by the full situation. We weren't, you don't feel you are, but maybe in reflection, we did have some good chances. They had a couple of, like the freak goal from the halfway line, maybe, for the first tournament, but it was certainly a learning experience for everyone. So I really did think coming into this one, we were in a far better space, the squad was better, and we had that experience to kind of lean on. But possibly just maybe having too good a run in, like not a run into it, but like we'd obviously qualified really easily, which is very un-Scotland like, and it was a bit too good, which then gave us this really good optimism, but then maybe became too much expectation, and then maybe that kind of made it more difficult for us. We then go and get defeated off Germany, and you kind of go from thinking we've got a right good chance here, that might have knocked the boys. So kind of just, look, every tournament's going to be different. I also think the injuries going into that last one were pretty horrendous. Lost a lot of important players. But look, what's good about this is you've now qualified for 2 out of 3 tournaments. We're growing as a squad, as a nation, getting used to it, getting used to the different curveballs you get thrown at. Even, for example, being in Germany, the last time we stayed in England and the games were at Hampden. So like, these are all experience that, like, I think the manager spoke about, you get better playing at this level. Those tournament experience you won't get better than. So hopefully, come this World Cup, that we're going to get qualified for, we'll be in a really, really good spot. But it's hard to really pinpoint.
I also wonder though, Gordon, if we need to sort of, this doesn't make it okay, of course it doesn't. You get there, you need to do better. Stephen's right, you can't just keep going and making up the numbers. But once you get to that level, the margins are going to be small. So six games, Scotland would have been underdogs in every one of those games. Yeah?
Yeah, out of the six. With that.
So then, you know, you lose in the 100th minute against Hungary. If you're the team that scores in the 100th minute against Hungary, and I know the performance was bad, I get all that, but if you're the team that nicks one off somebody's backside in the 100th minute, then all of a sudden everything goes from being horrendous to being amazing. That's the, you know, we're too extreme either way. So out of those six games, we were second favourites in them all, and then we weren't at our best, and the teams that were favourites against us to begin with beat us, or the best we could manage were draws in the case of Switzerland and England at the previous one.
Yeah.
I just feel like, I don't know, that sounds like you're trying to make excuses, because it's not good enough for ultimately, but I also feel like but it's very fickle, I suppose, is what I'm saying. You know, you can score that one goal at a tournament, literally score one goal that turns your tournament from, this is embarrassing, this is the worst thing ever, Steve Clarke should never be allowed to set foot in Scotland again, to, oh my goodness, these guys are history makers, give them all the freedom of Scotland when they come back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we've seen the biggest teams in Europe starting off very slow and building their way into it, and it's fine lines. I agree with Stephen what you're saying there about we have to learn, we have to grow into tournaments. The Euros were so, so disappointing, because we had an opportunity in the last game, and everybody talks about that, and it was flat. You could tell after the game, even the Scottish fans, the Tartan Army, were flat first time, you know, for looking forward to going to Germany, how they reacted in Germany, how they were welcomed there. They were just flat because of the performance and everything. I think the manager's got to learn as well. You know, the manager, and people touch upon it, well, he's a club manager trying to bring that sort of atmosphere into the dressing room. He's got to learn with this sort of competition. Steve Clarke is, you know, and he's got his to two so far out of three. I think he's got to learn. I think he's got to really look back. Not for 1 minute do I think Steve Clarke looks back at that last game and thinks, I've no regrets. I think he has.
Think so?
Yeah, 100%.
What's that, Stephen? Do you think there's been a sign, Stephen? I know this isn't tournament football, but do you think there is a sign that lessons have been learned or styles have changed or whatever?
Yes, but my big fear is it seems to be that they do really well, and they perform really well outside the tournaments, and then it seems to just be a click. It just seems to be something happens when they get to tournaments. I don't know if it's the pressure, I don't know what it is, but I would say that there's been improvement. But again, this seems to happen all the time. I was actually in Germany, and it was just, and I have to say, actually, I think a lot of the reason that the people, a lot of Scotland fans are against Steve Clarke is just because of the big tournaments. And it's not even the results. It was just, it was our attitude. We seemed to just have, the attitude was atrocious. And when I was actually, I say, when I was in the fan zone in Germany, everyone felt the same. Everyone was saying the same thing. What is happening? Where is the Scotland team that we've been watching for the last couple of years went? Like, what has happened?
I think in fairness though, the team didn't go into the tournament playing like that, did they, Stephen? Across the board, yes, on the way, but it slowed. And whether that's because qualification came so early, whether it's because of injuries, take Stephen's general point, but it's not like we went on this big winning run playing brilliant football, then got to the Euros and it switched, you know, overnight.
I think that's where maybe like some of the performances in the qualifiers were exceptional, but some of them were just good like results and good solid performances. So then whenever, like we talk about, whenever the results then turn, it becomes maybe a different picture. What the picture needs to adapt to, maybe for myself, is whenever you go, well, what's the conditions? And the conditions are a German team in Germany in the first game, and we get a man sent off. All these things change. The lead up to it, losing the games, I've no doubt in hindsight, I don't think you're taking those friendlies against those top sides. I think it created a narrative of a really bad Scotland kind of side, and we weren't. We were far from that.
That goes back to the point. I think the manager would look at the full build-up, everything about it. He'd look at the three games, You couldn't ask for a harder start than what we got with Germany. It could have went either way. We could have just dug in there and it could have been very tight. But you come out of that game and you're already under severe pressure because you've come in for a lot of criticism for the fans.
Yep, no, definitely. And pressure does build, and then you get the pressure of that tournament. You're away from the boys, away from your family. The family's getting to see them and stuff this time versus last time. There is so many variables that it really makes it difficult to pinpoint exactly what went wrong. But what I do know is that Steve Clarke would have been learning in every single experience. And I think he showed that already with it. I could be proven completely wrong here, but I don't think he just stumbled across the back four because of Tierney being injured. I think he's maybe realised in those games we need to be a bit more aggressive because these sides, if you give them time, they will punish you. And I certainly think we have implemented that and look better.
Stephen, what's the main factor then for you to phone in tonight? Because not everyone will do it. You've heard some of the previous calls and say, I was wrong about Steve Clarke. I think we are now heading in the right direction. What's caused that?
I had a good think, to be honest, and the more I thought about it, the more I realised that the reason I was thinking this is because I was still hung up on Germany and being in Germany, and it was such a good experience, had a great time, but the results really put a dampener on it, and really it really made me negative towards them. But if I'm looking at it honestly, I would say there has been, like, I think Stephen's right, there has been improvement, I think he has learned from it, and I think I'm really hopeful that if we qualify for the World Cup, that we learn from our mistakes and we go forward. I'd just like to say as well, Gordon, I actually met you at the game on Friday, and you were absolutely lovely, and you took a picture in the media centre, so thank you very much.
It's the first time I've heard somebody describe Gordon as lovely.
Hold on,
was it Mir?
Were you at the game on Friday?
What game was it?
Exactly. No. You don't go anywhere even if you get in for free.
No.
It, Stephen, you were very lovely yourself, but me and Stephen will carry this conversation on a bit later.
You were lovelier than me.
I wondered at the sign of things sort of going forward then, whether, you know, these symbols that it's different are four at the back, presumably. Ben Doak, another, just sort of symbolises.
He was in the squad, but
exactly.
He got injured.
And that again, stuff that maybe gets lost a bit. He was in the squad. John Souter, because John Souter wasn't. John Souter is fit, available, old enough, experienced enough, wasn't picked for the Euros. And I don't think anyone grumbled, because Ryan Porteous, Jack Hendry, Grant Hanley, Kieran Tierney had all got us to the tournament and scooshed it. John Souter's now established himself. Callum McGregor's retired, so it.
I think Kenny McLean's established himself. I would think that Kenny McLean would be looking next international to start if he's fit, right? And I think he deserves to. And I wouldn't have said that a few months ago. The big question for Steve Clarke's got to be simple: when Tierney comes back, what do you do? Because the back five was built around Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson on the left hand side. Two wing-backs, three at the back. Tierney and Robertson going down the left-hand side. Terrific partnership. Since Tierney's not been there, he's went to a back four. I think we look better as a back four because it allows Doak to get into the team.
That's the beauty of management, because I think this is not to say that that's wrong. I think loads of people agree and you might well be right. But I think naturally what we do when we let sort of narratives build up is we ignore all the times that the three
what
at the
happened?
Back,
yeah, you know, did yeah.
I mean, the best performance I've seen, I think, in a long time would probably be Spain. You'd add Denmark into that. You know, that these talk about England then at the Euros at Wembley. These were all with three at the back.
But your question against that is we formed that formation to get our best players in the team. Right now, I would guarantee you, if Steve Clarke left out Young Doak in the next
100%,
game,
100%. That's what I mean. That's why it's tough.
So all of a sudden, that problem's been, there. Yeah.
Does he leave out Robertson or Tierney then? Because if he's definitely playing Ben Doak, he needs to leave out one of those two.
Well, and you look at people will fight the argument. Well, can Tierney go and play left centre back with John Souter right, but centre back in the back four? Probably could. Wee bit unfair to Hanley. Hanley's, I know that he's got doubters, but Hanley's done okay. I think it's a great headache for him to have, but I'll be interested to see what he does, because as I say, everything was put on. We had to get our best players in. Ben Doak, all of a sudden, and I'm not getting carried away with the young boy because he will have a dip, he's emerged as one of those best players.
And of course, if we're looking to the future and what it all means, you know, old Georgia fans tonight, you aware of that? Yes.
Yeah, they're who are they playing? Slovakia.
You're not that much of a fan, Czech, are you? Czech. Georgia are playing Czech Republic and Slovakia playing Estonia.
Yeah, need to get beat the two of them, yeah.
No, just one. Just one. Know, and just fail to win. I'm glad you've done your research.
It's there, I read it and then I forgot.
So, as long as Georgia gets something against Czech Republic, mm-hmm. or Estonia get something against Slovakia, we would remain in pot two for the World Cup qualifiers. Happy with that?
Yep.
Fancy the chances?
Do we fancy that?
I think the fact
we've
got two games
something.
And
yeah.
it's, they don't need to lose, I think it's.
Well, we didn't fancy us getting 7 points the last three games, did we?
Exactly. Okay, thank you very much to Stephen. How are you two faring in this teaser?
Brilliant.
We've got five Scottish players to win an English Premier League medal. Colin Hendry, Andy Robertson, they'll take one each from you.
Are you getting the five there?
No. Darren Fletcher.
Give me your best guess. Yep, Darren Fletcher.
I've got to stay with Man U. I don't know if he'd do. Brian McClair?
Yes, and we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £400,000.
It's cash, some serious cash on offer for you here. Imagine heading into Christmas £400,000 better off. Enter Christmas Cash Countdown right now, and by the end of this week, you could be celebrating after winning all that money. Not only that, the cash goes into your bank straight after the call, so you can be ready to spend it straight away. So text YES to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and those calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday, so you are running out of time. It's so simple, couldn't be simpler. Even Gordon DL understands the format. Just answer your phone. You don't need to worry about five rings or saying any certain phrase. Answer your phone. The £400,000 would be yours. So text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Gordon DL and Stephen O'Donnell. Very quickly in this teaser, because I don't have too long, can you name the five Scottish players who've won an English Premier League winner's medal? Brian McClair, Colin Hendry, Darren Fletcher, Andy Robertson. You've got one to get. Are we going to try and win it already with 10
yeah.
minutes to go?
Yeah. And this man here, I've always wanted to play with this guy. Down the wing, that lovely right foot.
Shank one
play,
into the box.
Play it in. I'll come flying in my diving header and stick it in.
Go on then.
He teed up for me. Gallagher.
Kevin Gallagher, Blackburn.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
Only played one game that season, broke his leg. Both legs, maybe.
Is Paul Dickoff one then?
Listen, forget it, you've run out of time. Just
is Paul Dickoff the other
it
one?
It is not. I'll get back to you.
Goodness,
yeah. Right. You've got to the end of the show.
Mate, I've missed a set of
hopeless.
Oh, I was flying in with a diving header as well. By the way, it was your ball.
You've done him out of his one assist for the season as well. Anyway, we've been talking largely about the Scotland national team tonight, of course, after last night, but it's actually a pretty big period coming up. Overall, because the Scotland women's national team, 10 days time, I think if my dates are correct, get their playoff for the Euros underway against Finland. So with that in mind, we're joined by Scotland and Rangers defender Nicola Docherty, who joins us on the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure to have you. How excited is everyone then? We're talking about the men's team and Nations League, and that's all a bit, you know, further in the distance, but you guys are much closer to something pretty big. How's the feelings gone into that one?
Yeah, I think the squad are really excited. These are really important games coming up, and I think based on the disappointment of not making maybe the last two major tournaments, I feel like we're more ready this time to, and we're really ready for this playoff coming up against Finland. We know that it's not going to be an easy game. We know that it's going to be a difficult one, and if you want to be on that plane going to Switzerland next summer for the Euros, then you need to earn these moments. So yeah, as a squad, we're fully confident just now because we're off the back of 8 unbeaten games and 5 clean sheets as well. So we're in a good place just now, but we know that we need to be at our absolute best.
What's been key to that? Because, you know, it's not been plain sailing, and obviously national teams go through cycles, and then, you know, results can sort of tail off, and then doubt starts to creep in and criticism. So what's been key to the bit that gets you back in the good place heading into these games?
I think it's just the togetherness that we've got within the group. It's the same players that have been in amongst the squad for the last few years now. So I feel like we've got a real together group. So I think that's kind of what's helped us along the way. And as I touched on before, it's the disappointment of that game at Hampden against Republic Ireland. It was a really difficult night. We were moments away from creating more history. But yeah, it wasn't to be, and that I think we've used that hurt almost to get back together, back to winning games. And I think when you look at the Hungary game, it's probably the best that we've played for a long time as well. So we're in a good place, but like I said, togetherness within the group is certainly there, and it's a real mentality shift as well.
Funny talking about, you know, the men's team and when things aren't going well, and everyone says that, oh, I don't want to use injuries as an excuse, but then at the same time they're there and they're relevant. How helpful is it to now be able to call on players like Caroline Weir and others who again missed, you know, long periods due to injury?
Yeah, of course it was difficult. It was really tough losing Caroline Weir to the squad. She's a huge and key player for us. She creates a lot of goal-scoring opportunities for us. So she obviously got that dreaded ACL injury, and obviously we lost Emma Watson to the same injury as well. So, yeah, it's difficult. You don't want to be using injuries as an excuse, because I do think there's a lot of quality within our dressing room. But like I say, they are key players, so to have them back in the squad is huge for us. So hopefully they can turn up next week as well.
Yeah, exactly. On that Easter Road then, the 29th is the first leg away, Finland on the 3rd of December. How important do you think it is to try and get that big crowd along, try and give you guys home advantage?
Yeah, you looked at it back in the Hungary game, the numbers turn up to Easter Road. It's a great stadium. It hosts a great atmosphere, so we really enjoyed playing there, and hopefully we can get as many fans in as possible, because we know that it's the fans that can certainly help us, we like to call them obviously the 12th man, to really help us kick on, especially if maybe the game's not going as much as we'd want it to go. But the fans really create the atmosphere, and hopefully they can turn up and really kick us on to get us that one step closer.
Brilliant. Well, we wish you well. We'll be keeping an eye on the build-up, and hopefully it all goes to plan. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks very much, guys. See you later.
Thank you. There we go. Nicola Docherty building up to that huge doubleheader, those playoffs. The Scotland Women's National Team taking on Finland, home and away. Home first, Easter Road, 29th of November. Why don't you head along? Give the team a bit of backing. And then if you really... I could see you, actually. That could be your first foreign trip for the show. You in Finland in December. Send you to Lapland for a couple of days, get you off to the game.
We're saying that, it's a bit cold here.
Report back.
Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, it is cold today. I'd
drop a pin just for him to find me.
Heated body warmer on today.
I'll put you on to that.
With those USB chat. Oh, much needed today out and about working.
Do you get one when you're sitting on the bench?
He's injured.
Do you hear actually, I've left a legacy at Fir Park, do you know?
What's that?
I get the bench better for the subs. I sat on it for a wee while and I was like, my back's killing me. I've got nowhere for my back to lean on. My legs are dangling because it was too high up. I was coming on the park, brutal, feeling terrible. We got it fixed. We've got a wee bit to lean on. We've got a wee bit to put our feet
on.
So
you complained the bench wasn't comfortable.
The bench wasn't good enough.
Has it improved you?
It's improved. I've not been on it to be fair, so I'll take it.
That's shocking. Have you not seen the panic because he's out injured and Marvin Kaleta's been
flying through there? You see some of his touches. Well. I think I'm doing some more gigs. The future's coming close.
Just in case. Oh, bad news. Czech Republic have gone one up on Georgia. Still, one each draw would be fine. A Georgia comeback. Come on, there's a wee ton. You want to be in pot two, don't you?
Yeah.
I have to say. Try and do
plenty of football to be played. Come on, let's get back to this quiz.
Thanks again to Nathan. It's fulltime at Clyde1.com for sending it in. Can you name the 5 Scottish players to win an English Premier League winner's medal? Brian McClare, Colin Hendry, Darren Fletcher and Andy Robertson.
How far back we go?
But I've told you it's the Premier League era, know, so since 92 onwards.
Well,
most of them are far back, aren't they? Because we know that Andy Robertson's the only really recent one, Fletcher before that, and then we are going back. So
Man United dominated then.
So your hit the post answer was
Gallagher.
Kevin Gallagher, because he was at Blackburn, but he was injured that season.
Right, okay. So Manchester United, it must be somebody in Manchester United.
Can you give us if it's a Man U player?
What about Billy Gilmour?
No, because I thought it was Billy Gilmour.
Champions League squad, he was in for the final, but nope. Okay, it's Man United. I'll give you that.
I told you. Man United, Scottish.
Really tough, actually. You're just forgetting all about this name as a player. It was in that first one, 92-93.
Did he play with Dundee United?
I don't think so. No. Why? Who are you thinking?
No, I didn't know.
It's a kind of Bruce's time, remember? I'm born in 92.
Yeah, listen, it's all about the knowledge. Here's the clue that does it for you. The surname and the family connection is far better known for managing teams to English Premier League titles.
Ferguson, Dan Ferguson, the brother Dan Ferguson.
The son, Darren.
The son. That's how did we not
Darren
get
Ferguson.
That?
There you go.
How did we not get that? See you.
Anyway, well, thank you very much to Stephen O'Donnell and to Gordon DL for joining us. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here, so make sure you join us. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.